Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Yotes, and we're going to begin on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, four lines from the top, with the word Tanan. Yesterday we had discussed Machlaikis of Abaya and Rava. If we say Pi Tikra Yorid V'Soysim, do we say the walls of a ceiling come down to be considered halachic walls to make an enclosed, to make such an area into a sukkah, which, as we said, was diagram 118. As the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, chotzer amu kefes achsadra, you have a chotzer that has porches around it. So the Mishnah said, it makes a difference. If the porch takes up less than 4 amos, then we say doifin akuma. If it takes more than 4 amos, we don't say doifin akuma. Ask the Gemara, v'amai, even if it takes up more than 4 amos, according to Abaya, that says, pi tikri yard v'saisim, name a pi tikri yard v'saisim. So why does our Mishnah say that that sukkah would only be valid if it was 4 amos, less than 4 amos? It could be valid with many amos that Aksadra takes up, as long as we could say pi tikri yard v'saisim. Says the Gemara, Turgma Rav Aliv with Abaya. Rav answers on behalf of Abaya, Kishahishva es Kruyov, which is diagram 121. If we look at the difference between diagram 118 and 121, there's a very specific difference. In diagram 118, the schach is above the echsadra. It's not flush with the echsadra. So if you subscribe to particular Yerushalayim, there are halachic walls coming down. In diagram 121, however, the schach is flush with the echsadra. So where you want the echsadra to end and make halachic walls coming down, there's the schach, which is at that edge, preventing that from happening, and that's why we can't say pitikri yard v'saisim. The Ra'ah asks a question. He says, fine. Rav explained that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the schach is flush with the echsadra, and therefore doifin akuma is applicable. Pitikur yarev soysim is not applicable. Ask the Ra'ah, but the Mishnah still should have taught us the din. The Mishnah taught us the din that we're going to say doifin akuma, and doifin akuma we need less than 4 amos. Why didn't the Mishnah teach us a din according to Abaya, where we don't have the schach right at the edge of the echsadra, and then we won't need less than 4 amos of echsadra? Answers the Ra'ah that there are rishonim that say that even if you hold a pitik or yared v'soysim, to have an entire sukkah erected just based on pitik or yared v'soysim, the rishonim that say Abaya will agree you can't say. To have a sukkah with no walls, and really was based on the Gemara yesterday of the Mavi Amma Foolish. So to have a whole sukkah erected around doifin akuma, you can. To have a sukkah that was completely built with pi tikra, you can't. So the Mishnah preferred to speak about a case of doifin akuma, which limits the size of the echsadra, but at least is doable on all 4 sides, versus pi tikra, which is not doable on 4 sides, even though it allows you to have a larger echsadra. Says the Gemara, Besura masna l'hosh matz b'hai lishna. Besura, we learned the Gemara, the way Abai explained it yesterday, that the Machloika says, do we say Pi Tikra Yorev V'Soysim or not? However, in Pabadisa, they learned the Machloika of Abai Rava this way. Sichach gabe aksadra she'ein lo p'tzimim. In diagram 118, according to this version, everybody holds the Rekha P'sula. To construct a sukkah based on Pi Tikra is not acceptable. Yesh lo p'tzimim. However, now we go to diagram 117. That's where we have a machlokes if the sukkah is kosher or not, because it has these poles. Abaya on Mekshera. Abaya says that the sukkah is a kosher sukkah because I mean and love it. We say that since the poles are within 3 tefachim of each other, they become acceptable walls for the sukkah. Rav am psula lo yamin and love it. We don't say love it, so we don't have acceptable walls for the sukkah. Pitikra, no one is saying. Lovid, Rav is not saying. And therefore, Rava will say that even example 117 will not be an acceptable sukkah. Ask the Rishonim. Yesterday we had a discussion if we say love it on the roof. But when we learned the Gemara, we said very clearly that everybody agrees that we say love it on the sides. So here it's love it on the sides. So what's the shayla that it should not be a good sukkah? Why does Rava hold that this is not an acceptable sukkah? So they explain that Rava holds, what's the purpose of these poles in diagram 117? They're there to support the chsadra, the porch that's on top of them. They're not there to serve as walls for the sukkah. So since they were built specifically just for supporting the chsadra, we cannot all of a sudden use them as walls for the sukkah. However, says the Gemara, the correct version of the machlokes is as we learned yesterday, that when there are pitzimim, as in diagram 117, everybody will agree that we say loved, and this is a kosher sukkah. When there are no pitzimim, diagram 118, it's a machlokes Abaye and Rava, if we say pitikra or not, and the halacha is like Rava, that we do not. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Ashkechel Rav Kahana, Rav Ashi met Rav Kahana, the Komesach HaGabe, Echsad Rishen Lepitzimim. He was doing diagram 118. He was relying on Pitikra. Omlei leisov lamar hodam Rava. Don't you agree with what Rava said? Yesh lepitzimim. If it has these poles, only then is it ksheir because we're relying on loved. Ei lepsumim. But if there are no poles, psula. Achvilei. So responded to him, this is a unique situation. And we have both diagrams. In other words, what he was relying, the sukkah that Rav Ashi made was diagram 122, and Rav Ashi told him that here there's an extra lechi. Achfilei, he showed him that here is a situation of near b'fnim b'shavim b'chutz, where there's a lechi inside, or inami, or another way, the situation was, as diagram 124 shows us, near b'chutz b'shavim b'fnim, that the lechi was only visible to people standing outside the sukkah, not inside the sukkah. Ditmar, as we learned in Masechet Erevin, as we discussed a number of times in the last couple of days, that if you have a three-walled mavui, in order to be allowed to carry that mavui, you have to have a lechi or a kaira at the entrance, that we learned in Masechet Erevin, near b'chutz v'shavim b'fnim, that if the lechi is only visible to somebody outside the mavui, diagram 125, it's an acceptable, nidim shem lechi, it's acceptable lechi. Here too, he says, we have this lechi outside, that could be considered the third wall. And hayne b'tzimim, that will be the third wall. Ask Tosfos the obvious question. For lechi, you need a lechi. So, diagram 125, we have a lechi, it's acceptable. But by a sukkah, as we learned, what is a kosher sukkah? Two walls, two full walls, and a third wall that's at least a tefach big. This third wall, in diagram 124, there's no third wall in the sukkah. The fact that there's a lechi sitting outside isn't acceptable. So how could that make it into a kosher sukkah? So Tosfos attempts to say an answer. He says, we learned earlier in the Masechet the concept, migu to have a doifin linyan Shabbos, have a doifin linyan sukkah. So Tosfos says, since this lechi, as we just learned, is acceptable for Hilchus Shabbos, it will be also acceptable for Hilchus sukkah. But Tosfos has two problems with that approach. Number one, he says that to rely on migui to have a doifel in the Shabbos, have a doifel in the sukkah, that could be on a sukkah that's posel midrabbonim. Here we're dealing with a sukkah that's not kosher midraisa. A sukkah midraisa has to have two walls and a third wall of tefach. To rely on migui, you can't rely on migui to make a kosher a sukkah that's posel midraisa kosher. That's one issue he has. The other issue he has, he says, is even if we can rely on migui, on what day of the week can we rely on migui? On Shabbos sukkah. We could say, since it's a lechi for Hilchus Shabbos, it's a lechi for Hilchus sukkah. But from the Gemara, it seems that he used the sukkah the whole sukkahs, even the days that weren't Shabbos. You can't say the migui then. So there are two approaches I saw in the Rishonim. One approach is the approach of the Rosh. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there was a man, the Omer, that said that even though Midaraisa, the third wall, a tefach alone is enough. The Mandama said you have to have a tefach plus a tzuras ha-pesach. Says the Rosh, what happened here was that the third wall had a tzuras ha-pesach. But a tzuras ha-pesach alone is not enough. So for the extra tefach, That you can rely on the Lechi, even though it's not actually in the Sukkah. That's the Rosh's Teretz. The other Rishonim say nice Teretz. Very interesting Teretz. We've been learning that Rava doesn't rely on Pitikur Yarev V'Saisim. When we say that Rava doesn't rely on Pitikur Yarev V'Saisim, it's a very difficult concept. Pitikur Yarev V'Saisim is a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. How could Rava ignore it and say it doesn't exist? So they say the Rava certainly agrees with the concept, with the halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai Pitikur Yarev V'Saisim. The question is, do we apply it in this case? And Rava says, Midrabanan, we don't. Says the Ritva. Here in this sukkah, if you look at diagram 124, we have a pitikra. Just what's the issue? Rava doesn't subscribe to pitikra yarev v'saisim. Says Rava, we have a combination of a lechi that's outside the sukkah plus pitikra yarev v'saisim, which does work midaraisa, that even Rava will agree that we can rely on pitikra yarev v'saisim when we have the combination of the lechi and the pitikra to make it into a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara. Tana. The Gemara quotes a braisa, and we're going to say four pshatim in understanding the braisa. Tana. Pesel ha-yotzim nesukkah. If we have pesel, again, we say pesel means kosher schach. Pesel ha-yotzim nesukkah, nidin kusukkah. It's considered like a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, what does the braisa mean? My pesel ha-yotzim nesukkah. What does the braisa mean? So the first pshat is, ula. It's konim hayotzim lachurei sukkah. If you have schach going out, jutting out from the back of the sukkah, ask the Gemara vavinim shol stefanis. You need three walls. If you just have schach jutting out the back of your sukkah, where's the three walls? Says the Gemara b'deika. There are three walls. Vavinon hechshe sukkah. A sukkah has to have a minimal size. Zayin azayin tefachim. Says the Gemara b'deika. There are. Ask the Gemara Rabbeinu Tzilsum Ruba Mechamsa. You have to have that the schach is more shady. Says the Gemara B'deika. Says the Gemara Yochem Memra. If it has all the proper qualifications, so what's the Braisa teaching us? Answers the Gemara. Madu Tema. Hoy ul gavoy avidi ul avroy loy avidi. This back wall, again in diagram 126, the wall that we see, since it's made to serve as a wall for inside the sukkah, it's made for inside the sukkah, but it's not made for outside the sukkah. I should consider it a non-acceptable wall. That's what the Braisa teaches us, that it's acceptable. Ask Tosfos, obvious question. What's going to be the halacha? And he asks us from our Mishnah, but I'll give it into an example that we could all relate to. Let's say you have an alleyway between two houses, and you use the walls of the two houses to be two walls of your sukkah. Would anybody say that that sukkah is not kosher? It's certainly an acceptable sukkah. But those walls weren't made for your sukkah. Those walls were made for the house. The Gemara is saying here that perhaps walls that are not made for the sukkah aren't acceptable. And Tosfos says the best proof is our Mishnah. What was the case of our Mishnah? Well, we have the walls under the porch, and as long as the porch is less than 4 amos, those walls become the walls of the sukkah. Those walls weren't made for your sukkah. They were made for your house. So Ritva says, a very interesting teretz. Ritva says that the walls of a house are full-fledged walls. So since they're full-fledged walls, they're strong, good walls, even though they weren't specifically made for the sukkah, doesn't make a difference. Here, what kind of wall are we talking about? We're talking about a sukkah wall. It was only made for the sukkah, so it's not really a sturdy wall. So if you combine the two deficiencies, that it's a flimsy wall, and it really wasn't made for this area, that's why I would think it's not a good sukkah. Tosfos takes a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that the concern is not the wall. The concern is the schach. The schach that was placed on this sukkah, again in diagram 126, why was it placed here? It was really placed for the main body of the sukkah. And we learned early in the Masechta that when putting on the schach has to be put on l'shem sukkah. So it wasn't put on to cover this back area to be a sukkah. So I would think that therefore it's not an acceptable sukkah. Kamash one, that since the main part of the schach was put on l'shem sukkah, even this part that goes out is still acceptable. That's the first approach in understanding the braisa. Rabbi Rav Yosef Amri Tavayu, Rabbi Rav Yosef would give a different approach. Hocha b'kanem ha-yotzim l'fnim l'sukkah. We have diagram 127 with a board where the schach is jutting out of the sukkah. Mashcha v'oz l'chad doifim ha'adayu. One wall of the sukkah continues with the schach, and the other wall doesn't. Ma de teima ha-les by hechsha sukkah. I would say that this is not a kosher sukkah, because this area within the yellow dotted lines only has one wall, and it should not be considered an acceptable sukkah. Kamash malon, that it is. Ask all the Rishonim the obvious question. In this sukkah, let's look at this sukkah. You have two full walls and a third wall. So the third wall may not be going all the way. But what do we learn so many times? We learned it even today, that a kosher sukkah is two walls, two full walls, and a tefach. You certainly have that here. So why would there be any consideration that this extended area should not be a kosher sukkah? So the Rishonim explained beautifully. They say like this. If you have a sukkah that's two walls and the third wall is a tefach, no problem. We learned many times that's a kosher sukkah. This person is obviously not relying on that. What's the proof? Because the third wall is not just a tefach here. So what is this person showing with the third wall? What he's showing is that he wants a sukkah that's enclosed with walls. And if it's not enclosed with walls, he doesn't want to consider it a sukkah. So therefore, this extended area that doesn't have that third wall should therefore maybe not be considered a kosher sukkah. Kamash Mon, that it is. And in fact, the Mefarshim learned from Rashi that Rashi would hold, and Seshaila Aloch Lamaisa, that let's say you would have a sukkah that doesn't have this wall sticking out. You have a regular sukkah with tzchach on top of it, and then the tzchach continues past the walls, that would also be acceptable to sit under that extended area, even though that extended area is completely exposed. Now we have a third approach. Rabbi Baba Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo nitzrucha el shel sukkah shirubet silsa mechamsa. You're dealing with a sukkah that has the schach is proper, more shade than sun. Umiyutai, but there's a small part of the sukkah, the chamsa merubim mitzilsa, that the schach is sparse. Madatayma tivsa bahach porta, that small area should be able to make the sukkah possible. Kamash malon, that doesn't. It says, my yoytzi, what does yoytzi mean? Yoytzi mehechsha sukkah, that doesn't disqualify it from being a kosher sukkah. However, I saw two halachal amaisis. Even though the Gemara is saying that if you have a sukkah that's primarily chamsam rubim, tzilsam rubim chamsa, even if you have spots that a chamsam rubim tzilsa doesn't disqualify the sukkah, says the Prima Godim, let's say you'll have an area of four tfachim cutting across your sukkah, and again we're talking about a three-walled sukkah, that is chamsam rubim tzilsa, that will serve to disqualify your sukkah because it divides the sukkah into two. That's one halacha I saw. Another interesting halacha is like this. Let's say you have a sukkah that in one spot, this could be an interesting shayla, in one spot you have a lot of schach. You have tzils merubim mechamsa. You really piled it on high. And the rest of the sukkah is chamsa merubim mitzilsa. So if you measure the schach, you have enough schach to be tzils merubim mechamsa. But if you look in the area of the sukkah, there's more area in the sukkah that's chamsa merubim mitzilsa than tzils merubim mechamsa. Do we look at the area of the sukkah, or do we look at the totality of the sukkah? The halacha is we look at the area of the sukkah, not at the totality of the schach. And therefore, if more area of the sukkah is chamsa merubim mitzilsa, it's going to be a disqualified sukkah. Says the Gemara another pshat, the fourth pshat. Revai shem eloi nitzcha el schach posel, pachs mishloish besukkah. This is diagram 129. Where in your sukkah, you have a spat that has open space. A tzchach posel. Or my yoytze, what does yoytze mean? Yoytze mitar sukkah. That even though you don't have kosher tzchach, since it's less than three tfachim, it doesn't disqualify the sukkah. Maskler avoshio lo yeye alavu. If that's what the Bryce is teaching us, of course it's not a chiddush. Just like we learned yesterday, that avir, pachs mishloish tfachim, if you have less than three tfachim of avir in a sukkah, ktana, which is Zayin HaZayin, Miposel. So if Avir, which is much more of a disqualification than Tzchach Posel, as we've been learning, because Avir is Posel with three Tfachim, and Sukkah and Tzchach Posel is usually Posel with four Tfachim. So if less than three Tfachim of Avir, of empty space, doesn't disqualify your Sukkah, certainly less than three Tfachim of Tzchach Posel doesn't disqualify your Sukkah. Amalei Rav Abba, Zem Mitztar V'Yishenim Tachtav. There's a very big difference between empty space and Pasul Schukah. and we said this halacha. Zem mitzvah v'shenim tachtov. This, if you have posel schach less than three tefachim, it combines with the rest of your sukkah, and you can actually sit under that spot. But empty space, you're not allowed to sit under. So ask the Rosh, the very big Shiloh. We use bamboo sticks. Now bamboo sticks, by definition, are not straight sticks. They go in and out. So what's going to be if you'll have in your sukkah two bamboo sticks that are next to each other, and there's a space in between them? How could you sit under that bamboo stick? Under that space? You should be very careful. So the Rosh says that the only time this psul of avir is an issue is if it cuts across the whole sukkah. But if it doesn't cut across the whole sukkah, it just is part of the sukkah, then the avir doesn't pass. The Chazon Ish says a chumrah on the Rosh. It doesn't have to go across the whole sukkah. As long as it goes right over the sukkah, if you have a spot, if you have three tefachim, empty ear, that cuts across majority of the sukkah, in that place where it is, that will already serve to be an area that you're not allowed to sit under. Ask the Gemara, let's understand this. Umiyik Amidi, the Tzdurif Mitztarif, was saying that Poslaschach could be combined to be used in the Sukkah, V'hu Atzma in a Kosher. But if you would have a sole Sukkah made with Poslaschach, it would be disqualified. Amar of Yitzchak ben Yoshev, in. We find such a concept in Halacha. Titanorok. Titanorok means mud. Machlok is Rishonim, how muddy it has to be. But most Rishonim learn that it's not actually earth, it could flow. When you pour it, it flows. That's the proof. If you make a mikveh, you have to use water. If you'll use mud, it wouldn't be a kosher mikveh. But if you'll have a kosher mikveh and you add mud to it, shemitztarf l'abayim saw, it could combine to achieve that bayim saw you need for a kosher mikveh. However, if somebody uses that mikveh, l'yos l'tfilah, so you see that a disqualified item, even though it's not kosher for mikveh by itself, it could combine. Here too, it could combine. Says Tosfos, the comparison is really weak. Why is the comparison weak? Because Tosfos says that in our case, Tosfos says, the sukkah with avir is completely, the area under the avir we said you're not allowed to sit under. The mud, you're allowed to go into the mikveh with the mud. So how could you compare the two cases? So Tosfos says that even by a mikveh that's using the mud for a bar mitzvah, a person has to be careful that when he immerses himself, he should make sure to immerse himself in water and not in mud. So it's very similar. The mud can be mitztarif, even though it can't be used to be toivel in. The same thing with the avir. Says the Mishnah, ha'oseh sukkah k'min tzrif. If somebody makes his sukkah like a teepee, this is diagram 130. Oi, shesamcha l'kaisel, he takes a board and he puts it leaning against the wall. This is diagram 131. Rebbe Lezer says that such a sukkah is disqualified from neisha ein legag, because a sukkah has to have a roof. The chomer machshirim, the chomer hold that such a sukkah is kosher. However, tells us Tosfos that even the rabbonim who hold that such a sukkah is kosher will agree that it has to have the dimensions of 10 tefachim in height and 7 tefachim in width. Because as we learned from the beginning of the Masechta, the minimum dimensions of a sukkah are the height of 10 tefachim and the width of Sayin Bazayin. Not as Machloikas Rishonim, how do we come to those dimensions? Tosfos seems to learn that let's go to diagram 130. For this sukkah to be kosher, according to the Chachamim, you would have to have that before the height of 10, by the height of 10, that means before the sukkah narrows, you have a width of 7. Even the Chachamim would require that. If you don't have that minimum amount, even the Chachamim will agree that the sukkah is possible. Other Rishonim say that you don't have to have it in that dimension. As long as this wall, the two walls in diagram 130, or the one wall in diagram 131, is 17 amos tall, so you have 10 plus 7, it's a kosher sukkah. Says the Ritva, the very interesting Ritva, and the Stipler uses this Ritva as a proof to a famous chumrah of the Chazon Ish. says the Ritva, that in this case, according to Chachamim, that it's a kosher sukkah, the entire sukkah has to be made out of material that's kosher for schach. Because since there's a molding of the schach, there's a combination of the schach and the wall, so we don't know what schach is, and you don't know what wall is. And therefore the entire wall that we're using has to be made out of material that's kosher for schach. Ask the stipler, fine. We need to have part of the wall material made out of schach, because we'll be using the top part as schach. Even a tefach below should also be kosher for schach, because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the coming days, the maimed, the part that supports the schach, has to be made out of material kosher for schach. But why does the whole 17 amos have to be material made out of kosher for schach? The bottom part, which is not the top 7 tefachim, plus the tefach below it. So let's say the bottom 9 should be able to be made out of any material, because that's a maimed, the maimed. That supports the support. And we hold that a support of the support, the walls of a sukkah, we've said, could be made out of any material. Says the stipler, from here we have a raya that even the maimed, the part that supports the support, also has to be made out of material kosher for schach, which is a famous chumrah of the Chazon Ish. Obviously, it's not a conclusive proof, because this is a very unique situation. We're not talking here about a regular sukkah with regular walls and flat schach. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, that even though Rebbe Lezer disqualified these two sukkahs, Moed Rebbe Lezer, Shemit Bim and Akaka Tefach, and this is shown in diagram 130, that the wall doesn't begin directly on the floor, but rather there's a tefach between the floor and where the wall begins. Asha Fligim and Akaisel Tefach, this is diagram 131, that this wall is not leaning on the other wall, there's a tefach in between, Shik Shera, that sukkah is kosher. This is Machloikis Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that this tefach that we're requiring, whether on the bottom or on the top, has to be full of space, which is not shown in the diagram. Other Rishonim say, as the diagram seems to show, that even if it's empty space, since it's only a tefach, we could say lovud, and as long as it's standing erect, straight, on the top or on the bottom, even though it's mainly empty, that would be enough to make it look like not a V, not like a tent that doesn't have a roof, and it will be a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanan, however, in our Mishnah said that even if the sukkah is completely a V, an upside down V shape, or it's a lean, it's acceptable. My time of the Rabbanan, because they hold shipur olam ka'olam, that even a wall that is on a slant is considered an oil. Says the Gemara, Abaye Ashkechel Rabbi Yosef, Abaye met Rabbi Yosef, the Kokani Bekilas Chassanim B'Sukkah. He was sleeping in a canopied bed that had a slanty roof. And he was sleeping there, and he felt that he was doing Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. Amalei Kaman, according to who are you acting? Rebbe Lezer. The Rebbe Lezer holds that an oil that's in that shape is not considered an oil, and therefore it doesn't mean that you're sleeping in a separate oil in the Sukkah. So he asked him, Shaftus Rabbanan Vavit Krebelezer, you're ignoring the Rabbanan hold that such is considered a sukkah. So it's obviously, if it's considered a sukkah, it's considered an oil. And you're now out of sleep in such a separate area in a sukkah, and you're following Krebelezer. Amle Brais Ipchatani. I have a Braisa that taught us just the opposite. The Tani Krebelezer, that Braisa says that Krebelezer is the one that says that such a sukkah is kosher, V'cham Paislim. And it's very interesting. Whatever is possible for a sukkah is good for an oil, because they work in the same concept. If it's not good for a sukkah, that means it's obviously not an oil. If it's not an oil, I'm allowed to sleep in such an area in a sukkah. So he says, according to my version, the chamim are the ones that say it's not good for a sukkah, and since it's not good for a sukkah, it would be acceptable to sleep in such an area in the sukkah. So he asked him, fine, the Braisa has that version. However, Shafkis Masnis and Vavaka Braisa, you're ignoring what we learned in our Mishnah and following the version of the Braisa. The Amalei, Masnis and Yechidahi. our Mishnah is not the accepted version. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Hoyse Tzru Kosser Kmin Tzrif, Oyse Simcha L'Koysel, Rabbi Nosson is the one that says, Rabbi Leza, Oymer Rabbi Leza Poysel, Nei Shayin Le'gag, V'chama Machshirin. So it's only Rabbi Nosson that had this version of the Mishnah. Everybody else had a different version of the Mishnah, and therefore I follow the majority that have the version of the Mishnah that the Chacham hold that such a sukkah is not a good sukkah, and therefore it is good and it is acceptable to sleep in such a structure when it's erected inside the sukkah. The Sfas Emes asks Akasha. He says, when we learned this sugya, we learned the sugya a couple of blad ago that said there were a number of manda omrim that said that you have that the sukkah has to be a dearest kva. And one of the manda omrim that were cited as saying that is Rebbe Lezer. Because Rebbe Lezer is the one that says that a sukkah that's made these structures is not a dearest kva, and therefore it's unacceptable. Ask the Sfas Emes, Al-Gemar has a whole different approach. Al-Gemar is saying it has nothing to do with dearest kva or not. Al-Gemar is saying that it has to do with the way is Shipur Oilim, is a pointy roof considered an oil or not? So, ask the Sfas Emes, this Gemara and that Gemara don't seem to be following the same approach. So the Sfas Emes says that the end of the Gemara that we just learned is part of the explanation. The Sfas Emes says that if we're going to learn that it's Rebbe Lezer, that's the one that holds that the sukkah is puzzle, he's going to learn because he needs a dearest kva. But l'maskana, it's the Chachamim that hold that the sukkah is puzzle. The Chachamim hold, not because the sukkah has to be dearest kva, because we know the Chachamim hold that the sukkah does not have to be dearest kva. What is the reason the Chachamim hold that the sukkah is puzzle? Because the structure this way is not considered an oil. Says the Mishnah, we've learned that a sukkah, one of the requirements of a schach, is that the schach has to be mekabel tumah. So if you have a mat that somebody could lay on, they used to lay on mats, so that's a keli, it's mekabel tumah smedris. It's made for to lay on, and therefore cannot be used as a schach. This, we begin now the sugya of the acceptability of mats for schach. Says the Mishnah, machtzelas kanim gedoyla, if you have a large mat, also l'shchiva, if it's made to recline on, it's mekabel tumah, so it's mekabel tumah, and therefore v'im sachim ba, it can't be used as schach. L'sichuch, however, was made for the purpose of schach, mesachim ba, it can be used for schach, then mekabel tumah. Rebbe Lezer says achis ktan of achis gedoyla, also l'shchiva, if it's made to recline on, mekabel tumah v'im sachim ba, l'sichuch. If it's made for schach, mesachim bo ve'en mekabelos tumah. Begins the Gemara. Haguf akasha. When we begin learning the Mishnah seems to be self-contradictory, asked the Gemara. Amrit, we began saying the Mishnah, osu l'shchiva, that if it was made specifically for purposes of reclining, it therefore is mekabelos tumah ve'en mesachim bo. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? Tamad l'shchiva. It was made to recline on. Ha stama, if it wasn't specifically made for the purposes of reclining, it's l'sichuch, it's kosher for schach. But let's learn the next words of the Mishnah. V'adatani, the next words of the Mishnah taught us, l'sichuch, if it was made specifically for schach, then m'sachachim bo, then m'kabalas tama. Tama, why is it acceptable for schach? Because d'as l'sichuch, it was specifically made for schach. Ha stama, if we don't know it was specifically made for schach, we consider it l'shchiva, and it's possible. Says the Gemara Lo'kasha. There's no steer. Kambik doilo, kambik tana. It makes a difference if you're dealing with a big mat or a small mat. A big mat, we assume, is made l'sichu. A small mat, we assume, is made l'shchiva. Because it's small, what is the size of a small mat? Say to Rishonim, the size of a human person. The size of the body of a person. Continues the Gemara. Okay, if that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah, this is the Skirsa Eima Seifa. Let's learn the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah said, Rebbe Lezer Oimer, Achs Ktan of Achs Gedoyla, makes the difference if it's big or small. Also L'shchiva, if it's made L'shchiva, Mekabelos Tama, Ve'im Esachachim Ba, it can't be used for Schach. So what do we see? Tama de Also L'shchiva. Only because it was specifically made L'shchiva. Hos Tama, if it wasn't made l'shchiva, we say it's l'sichuch and it's kosher. So let's see the Sefer. Sefer means the last statement of Rabbi Lezer. If it was made with schach, mesachachim bo, then mekabelos tumah. So here we have a contradiction of Rabbi Lezer. Only because tamed osu l'sichuch, that was made specifically for schach, ha stama, if it wasn't specifically made for schach, l'shchiva. So even if we've effectively explained the first part of the Mishnah, we still don't have a pshat in the second part of the Mishnah. Ela merova. The way to understand the Mishnah is like this. Big doila on a large mat, kulam le pligi, everybody agrees that it's l'sichuch, that we have to say that it's made for schach. Because it's too large for reclining, we assume that it was made l'schach. Ki pligi, when is the machloikis? B'ktana. Tana kama sover, the tana kama holds, stam ktana l'shchiva. Stam, when you see a small mat, we have to assume it's l'shchiva, and it's possible. Rebbe Lezer sover, Rebbe Lezer on the other hand disagrees, and he holds stam ktana nami l'sichuch. So according to the way we're learning, Rebbe Lezer is the mekel. The tana kama holds stam ktana is l'shchiva. And Rebbe Lezer holds stam ktana is l'sichuch. Vach kama, and this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Mach mechtzel l'shakanim, if you have a large mat, gedoyla osu l'shchiva, if it's a large one, so if you specifically made it l'shchiva, even though it's large, b'kabelos tuma, then sachachim bo. Why? Tamed osu l'shchiva, because you made it l'shchiva. Hostama, if we don't know that you made it l'shchiva, when we see a large mat, nasa kemesh osu l'sichuch, we assume that it was made l'sichuch, and mekabel m'sachachim bo. And we could use it for schach. And what does Rebbe Lezer hold? That makes no difference if it's large or small. Achas ktana v'achas gdoila, stam ksheira l'sichuch. We always could assume it's kosher for schach. So that means, just to review, according to Tana Kama, a gdoila we assume is l'sichuch, a ktana we don't. And Rebbe Lezer says that even a ktana we assume is l'sichuch. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Abaya, Ihoch Rebbe Lezer Omer, Achas Ktana v'Achas Gdoila, Achas Gdoila v'Achas Ktana, Miboilei. We have our halacha, we have a klal throughout Shas, that when somebody says two rules, which rule does he say first? He says the more simpler rule. By Gdoila, everybody is agreeing that it's Tomo L'Sichuch, according to this explanation in the Mishnah. Where is there a machloikis? The machloikis is by a ketana, that the Rabbanan differentiate between a gedoyla and a ketana, and Rebbe Lezer doesn't. So what should Rebbe Lezer said? He should have said, not only a gedoyla could I say istam l'sichuch, but even a ketana istam l'sichuch. But let's look at the words of him. So he should have said, achas gedoyla, a gedoyla istam l'sichuch, and also a ketana. He should have said the ketana second, because that's the bigger chiddush. What does Rebbe Lezer actually say in the Mishnah? He says, Achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. Amar Abaya, Ihochi, if that's the way to understand the Rabbanan and Rebbe Lezer, instead of the Mishnah saying, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Achas ketana, first speaking about the ketana, and then Achas gedoyla, he should have just said the opposite. Achas gedoyla v'achas ketana miboyle. Void. Furthermore, we're saying that everybody agrees by the gedoyla, and the machloikis is by the ketana. Says the Gemara, I'll show you a brisa that says just opposite. Void, ki pligi be gedoylu de pligi. I'll show you a brisa that teaches us that the machlokes is only by the gedoylu, and Rebbe Lezer is the machmer. The way we understood the Mishnah till now, Rebbe Lezer was the mekel, that he was mekel by the ketana with a chama machmer. The Tanya, let's learn this brisa. Machtzelus akonim, be gedoylu mesachim bo. The Tanya Kama says we could always use a gedoylu, and Rebbe Lezer oimerim enim a kabels to tumbo. Not so quick. We have to see it's mekabel tumbo, mesachachim bo. So therefore, a papa has another understanding of the Mishnah, and this is the final accepted understanding. Alon papa, b'ktana kulam lo pligi d'stam l'shchiva. On a ktana, everybody is going to agree that it's not acceptable, because we assume that's l'shchiva. Ki pligi b'gdoyla. Tana kama sova stam gdoyla l'sichuch, and therefore it's acceptable. And Rebbe Lezer says, even on a gdoyla, stam gdoyla nami l'shchiva. So, and it's possible. So ktana, everybody holds it's possible. A gdoyla, the chacham holds kosher. And Rebbe Lezer is the machmer and holds that it's possum. I, the Mishnah says, osel shchiva mekabel tuma. Or my osel shchiva the kamer. What did Rabbi Elazar mean when he said it in the Mishnah? Hach kamer. Stam as yosoy. When we see a gdoila, we have to assume nami l'shchiva, that we have to assume it's made l'shchiva, ad the ovid l'sichuch, until we see that it was specifically made for schach. So just to review, la'loch l'maisa, because everybody asked the shayla about the sukkah mats. If you see a mat, so nowadays, we could assume that the mat was not made l'shchiva. Most people don't sleep on mats, on straw mats. So you would assume that the sukkah should be kosher. That should be kosher for schach. However, there are a number of issues. First of all, the Ramah says that if the mat is so dense that the rain can't penetrate, it has the same din as the gzeiras tikra. That we learned earlier, that boards that are wide should not be used because people make that as a roof. So that too nowadays is not that relevant because who uses mats for a roof on their home? However, there's another concern. The concern is, if someone buys a mat, you go in the street and you see a mat. You don't want to buy the schach mats. You just buy a regular straw mat. Why should it not be acceptable? It's not made for reclining. So there are 2 days. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if it's made for business purposes, people sell it, that already gives it the shame keli. And once it has the shame keli, it's makabel tumah and it's possible for schach. That's one. And there's another day that says, what are those mats made for? They're not made for nothing. They're made to stand on. There are days that say, once it's even made for standing, it's considered a keli, and therefore it's makabel tumah. So the only option we have is to have a mat that's made l'shem schach. Now, in the factory where it's made l'shem schach. However, there's a problem with that too. Because when we put the mat together, put strips of bamboo or strips of straw, what's going to keep them together? You keep them together with straw. You keep them together with rope. And the rope is makabel tumah. So how could the schach mat be kosher? So there are 2 approaches in the Achroinim. The Shevet HaLevi discusses it. One approach that the Shevet HaLevi says is that since they could stand together, if they're woven in a way that the schach mat could stand together and this rope that's used is only for extra protection, that doesn't disqualify it and make it the rope be part of it, that it should be considered a keli, it's makabel tumah. Another approach, which I understand is what's done, they make the rope or the straw that they keep to schach mat together also for material that wasn't processed, and it's not makabel tumah, and therefore the schach mat is acceptable.